Hour number two, Chase and Michelle. Welcome in to the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. I'm Michelle Knazovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. We've got Nick Kieser also with us today. Chase McCabe will be filling in for Jared Stillman for the rest of the week on Stillman & Company. And listen, we've got some Belmont women's basketball tickets to give away. Text the keyword Belmont, B-E-L-M-O-N-T, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025. That's 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a pair of courtside seat tickets to see the Belmont Bruins women's basketball take on the Drake Bulldogs in the Missouri Valley Conference action at the Curb Event Center on Saturday, February 25th. So text the keyword Belmont, B-E-L-M-O-N-T. Belmont Bruins women's team has been making quite the start to the Missouri Valley Conference, doing very, very well in their first year in the Missouri Valley. And quickly, just to kind of go around the state as far as college basketball here, and then we're going to get back into the Tennessee Titans. The Vanderbilt Commodores fall to LSU last night. LSU now 2-13 in the conference. That's a tough loss for Vanderbilt after they went on a five-game winning streak in the SEC, looking to try to get a spot in the NCAA tournament. But the only path for them right now I could see would be them winning the SEC tournament. Tennessee falls to Texas A&M on Tuesday night. That was a top 25 matchup. Texas A&M is second in the SEC right now. And Alabama, a close one with South Carolina last night. They survive in overtime, so they still have the top spot in the SEC. And in just about less than a month, the SEC tournament will be here in Nashville, and we will have all the coverage for you. So that's a quick little update on that. And Vanderbilt will host Florida this weekend in Memorial here in Nashville, Junie. But switching back to the Tennessee Titans and the question we brought up earlier today, would the Tennessee Titans, if you're a fan, if you're a Titans fan, would you be open to the idea of trading up to get the first overall pick with, let's say, whatever quarterback you want, whether you want C.J. Stroud, whether you want Bryce Young, whether you want Will Levis, whoever the Titans think their guy is when they go to the combine next week, and they are interested in creating a trade package to offer up the Bears, if that should include Jeffrey Simmons. So The Athletic always comes out with a mock draft by their beat writers. Yeah. So everybody who writes for their team, our own Joe Rex wrote us in it. And right now, they have projected, I'm going to ask you to guess, which team do you think is picking at number one, and who do you think they're taking?
Mock draft on The Athletic. And again, I don't subscribe to The Athletic. No offense, Joe. But
Joe, give him a free code.
Yeah, give me a free code, Joe, and I'll read your stuff. But anyway, now, if I had to project, I'd say the number one pick is going to be the Colts. I think they're going to be the ones that are aggressive to trade up, and select C.J. Stroud.
Bryce Young.
Ah!
So, obviously, this is just a mock draft, as Nick is laughing at you in the background, but this is projected right now. It's the Indianapolis Colts and Bryce Young from Alabama, and they note that it would be a one pick, fourth pick and a 36th pick and a fifth round in next year. So quite a lot to get that number one pick this year. And listen, if you're the Bears, I mean, the good thing for them is there are so many teams that need a quarterback right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the entire NFC South. You look at most of the AFC South. And, you know, a bunch of other teams in there. But how would Titans fans feel if they tried to trade up the number one overall pick, a package that included Jeffrey Simmons, but you get either a C.J. Stroud, a Bryce Young, or a Will Levis?
To me, it's just not in the cards. Not this year.
But what if they think, okay, this is our dude. This is our guy for the future. This is our franchise guy.
Well, it depends on which guy they think. Because if they do think that it's Bryce Young, then yes, you would have to trade up. But what if they think it's C.J. Stroud? Then you're talking about trading maybe to get up in around the five range, or the, you know, maybe trade with the Cardinals at three. to try and get in there. That's different than trading for the number one pick. Each time you move down, especially in the top 10, the value of those picks decrease just, you know, ever so slightly. But the number one overall pick is just at such a value. And to trade up from 11, I mean, you're likely talking, you know, your first and second round pick for this year and next year to move up. And it's just like when you look at your entire offensive line, your receiving core, the guys you need to re-sign, like there's so many holes because we don't know what positions they're going to re-sign. Like David Long Jr. could be on his way out. You could be looking at needing you know, some players on defense as well. So you're talking about really reconstructing almost every position on the starting offense except for running back.
I think they got that one covered.
Yeah,
at
except
running
for
back.
Maybe running back and tight end. And you, yeah, receivers, offensive line, you know, quarterback. That's up in the question with Ryan Tannehill and his age and where this organization is right now. Would Tannehill likely want to go somewhere else? I don't know. But when there's so many holes, you just can't uplift and trade all of your assets when you really need to build this roster up. And I think that's what Rand Carthon would likely do. I mean, look what San Francisco has done. San Francisco has been looking for the quarterback, but what have they done? They have built the roster around it. I just don't think with his experience and success that he has seen that they would make a trade like that, you know, without knowing, like, you're gonna put all those future assets into a pot to move up to the number one pick and losing arguably your best player on the team, at least your best player on defense. To for what? To get a quarterback to come here and play with an awful offensive line, a lackluster receiving core, and a defense that's, you know, missing its, you know, biggest playmaker? I don't think
he doesn't have to play. You could technically still have Tannehill.
But I don't know. Do you really want to hold on to Tannehill with a rookie quarterback? I don't know. I think if you were to trade up and put all those assets in and then have that guy sit, that just doesn't seem like it's logical to me. I don't. I think if you believe in that guy so much that you're putting in your first and second round picks for the next 2 years, then that guy's got to play. He's got to play. And plus, like, how are you going to go out and get assets to put around him if Tannehill's still on the roster? If they were to make that trade, Tannehill's getting cut. Because you need that money, especially if it's a post-June 1st cut. They save around $27 million. They're going to use that to go out and get free agent offensive linemen, maybe a veteran receiver. Okay? Like, they have got to use that money for elsewhere because, like, even though the quarterback that you'd be trading up to get is on a rookie deal, you get him in the top 10, it's still, you know, a pretty pricey rookie deal. So I think Tannehill would have to be on his way out if they traded to move up to one of the top five picks to go get a quarterback.
So the Tennessee Titans made a couple cuts yesterday, including Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Randy Bullock, and Zach Cunningham. A lot of people questioned why Bud Dupree wasn't a member of those players getting cut, Junie.
Well, because like he's another post June 1st. Because if you cut him right now, you basically owe him half of his contract. He's a $20 million cap hit if he stays on the team. If you cut him right now, you're going to basically owe him around $10 million. If you cut him for post June 1st designation, then you would only owe him probably about $5 million, maybe a little less than $5 million, which if you're going to save $15 million instead of paying him $10 million, I would much rather wait for the June 1st designation. Now you didn't have that with Robert Woods because he had no guaranteed money. Same with Taylor Lewan. And when it comes to you know, Randy Bullock and Zach Cunningham, same boat. Like, all these guys didn't have guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. So they're going to wait on Bud Dupree, and I think there's no way that they're bringing him back on the amount of money that he's making this year. They will cut him. It's only the matter of, will he come back at a reduced rate, or will he want to go elsewhere and see if he can make more?
Something important to keep in mind, too, is that teams are only allowed to designate up to two players as post-June 1 cuts. So if that's what they're doing with Bud Dupree, he would
He's definitely he will definitely be one. Tannehill would be my number two personally, but that again, that's just me. That I would do that.
So that was what they did with Julio Jones last offseason.
Yes.
Bud Dupree, I think, is a guy. The way I look at it, too, is, yeah, he's getting older in the league. I think, Junie, I agree with you as far as, you know, the post-June 1, so you don't have to pay him. You're not owed that all that money that you'd have to pay him if you were to include him in the cuts yesterday. And you went in to explain why that was different than the current players that they cut yesterday. But you know, Bud Dupree is a guy that I look at, yes, older, but was able to, when he was on the field, which is the huge asterisk next to it, be an impact. I mean, everybody knows that he's great at that position when he's healthy and he's able to be out there. And even just having him out there as a threat to the quarterback. So when you look at that position, though, Junie, and you think of, okay, say they cut Bud Dupree and they don't bring him back on a cheaper deal or able to figure something out with him. Then I look at David Long and I think, okay, re-signing him moves up in the priority list.
Well, I think already. I mean, you're talking about, so, you know, Harold Landry will be coming back. I mean, they just paid him prior to this past year. So that's another thing about this is that they were really banged up because Bud Dupree missed so many games this past year, and they didn't have Harold Landry. Harold Landry's coming back. Then I look at a guy like Mario Edwards.
Coming off an ACL, though.
Coming off an ACL. He might not be a double-digit sack guy this year, but he's still young enough to where he can bounce back from an ACL, especially with how we've been seeing guys come back from that. You know, I would look at like a guy like Robert Woods, who's a receiver in his 30s. He's a little bit older. It's harder for a guy like that to recover, but Harold Landry can definitely see him getting back. But also, looking at a guy like Mario Edwards Jr., like he had 7 sacks this year. You know, Rashad Weaver, he had flashes. I know that.
DeMarcus Walker.
Yeah, yes, DeMarcus Walker as well. Like, they have other guys there, and I feel like their value at their price is a better value to the Titans than Bud Dupree in the production and all the injuries that he's had. I just think that, you know, having those guys and maybe going out and drafting a guy, maybe going out and get a veteran in free agency that you know is going to be cheaper, would be a better option than sticking with Bud Dupree at this point.
The Tennessee Titans have made 4 cuts yesterday. Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Randy Bullock, and Zach Cunningham. Who else will be on the chopping block? Coming up next, Junie and I will discuss some players that have been cut, but would you want them to come back at a cheaper deal? Coming up next on Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Learn more at hairclub.com/Chase. Welcome back into Chase Michelle. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. We got Nick Kieser also with us. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Listen, weigh in on our text line, our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, you can watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We teased it a little bit before we headed into this segment, and we've been talking about it as one of the biggest storylines surrounding the Tennessee Titans has been Taylor Lewan getting cut from the roster. I think we could have all expected it, especially with how much he was getting paid and how much he was able to be available for this team the past 2 seasons with his ongoing ACL injury. Taylor Lewan spoke about what it was like and where his head is at after getting cut from the Tennessee Titans on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast that dropped this morning.
There was a piece of me that's like, should I be doing something? Should I be? And then when I walked out of the building today, like, said hello to everybody, talked to all the guys that I've been around for a long time. There's a lot of guys that have been in that building for a long time and I've gotten to know really well. And after those goodbyes, I kind of walked out and I was like, it's a refreshing feeling.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Like, the mourning process has happened since I got hurt week 2 of the season. Because when I had to go get surgery, I went to Vrabel's office and I said, I know I'm going to get cut. I understand. Like, that is how this is going to work. So the mourning process has been since the fall. And now that it's happened, I really just thought like they were going to like put me down. Like, they were going to shoot me or something and it was going to be over.
Yeah.
But really, like, I walked in there and Vrabel and I were talking about Jen and her foot when they first came to Tennessee, and then Rand came in and shook his hand and kind of just sat there for a second. I go, so how's this go? And like, do you guys put it like, kill me? Yeah. Like, what's the deal?
Pull out the shotgun.
And they're just like, they're like, yeah, we just gotta, you know, we're releasing you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I know. So is that it? And then that was kind of the end of the conversation. Yeah, it was it. There was a question of whether or not they would have to go into all the conversation, but the answer is I got cut, and now I just got to figure out what to do.
Do you know what you want to do right now?
I want to get my knee healthy is what I want to do.
So that was Taylor Lewan on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast that dropped this morning, recorded it yesterday, discussing what it was like heading into the Titans facility and what it was like when he got cut. And I thought he's always funny and, you know, personable guy when he's like, were they going to put me down? I was like, oh, gosh. But, I mean,
that's what it's got to feel like, you know?
Yeah, it's been a part of his life, you know, for so long.
Almost a decade.
He's been very vocal about it on his podcast that he knows he's going to get cut. He realizes that this is very much a business and that he hasn't been able to be available for this team with his ongoing knee issues. And right there at the end of that segment, he mentioned that his number one focus right now is getting the knee healthy. And yes, I still believe when healthy, he can be a good left tackle in this league. Does he need to put on weight? Yes. Has he not played on a Sunday in a very long time? Yes. Does he have a lot of work to do if he wants to get back on the field? Yes. And I think that is what it comes down to, right? We can talk about on whether the Tennessee Titans would want to offer up a deal of a one-year contract, but also still draft somebody in this year's draft. But to have him be able to be a starter for them for a couple games, and if he's willing to do that. But I think, Junie, what it comes down to more is, does Taylor Lewan want to put his body through what he needs to be able to be a starter in this league again, or just play in this league? Because at the end of the day, he is 30, he has young kids, he's really created a broadcasting career for himself these last couple of years, and does he want to do it?
I personally don't know if he knows, because based off what he's saying, and he's contemplating about how his knee is going to hold up, he said, first and foremost, I want to get that knee healthy. And I think depending on how that goes the next couple months, because it's harder for a guy who's 6'7 and 300 pounds to, you know, recoup from an ACL tear than it would be from a smaller guy. There's so much weight and pressure that's being put on that, and just for his height alone makes it even more difficult. Like, you look at basketball players when they tear their ACL, it's a lot harder for them to come back and recoup from that. So I don't necessarily know if he knows if he can come back. I think if the knee starts to heal up and he starts to feel better, I could see him potentially, you know, fighting to get back in. But it's also going to be him getting in shape and gaining that weight back and getting back into the groove of things, because he missed most of 2020 with the ACL. You know, he missed a lot. He missed all this year with the ACL. So it's just one of those things that when you're 31 years old, you're as big as he is, you play the position that he is, and how technical you have to be with your feet, it's going to be really challenging to see if he can potentially, you know, make this comeback with all the intangibles that are lined up in front of him.
So, Junie, I want to propose something to you. So say all that does happen. Okay. Say he gets his knee healthy in the offseason. He gains the weight back. He feels good. He thinks, you know what? I've seen some of the moves this Tennessee Titans organization has made in the offseason. I like the way this roster is starting to shape into form. Has a conversation with Vrabel, Rand Carthon, is willing to come back, maybe, say, a one-year, $5 million, some incentives based off of how many times he starts for them. But the Tennessee Titans also draft a left tackle high in the draft. Are you, say you're the general manager, is that something that you'd be willing to do?
For $5 million, I would say yes. I don't necessarily know if he would play for that much. I don't know if he would take that big of a pay decrease, because there's been rumors and speculations of other fan bases trying to get him, and he's kind of made some comments that, you know, I would, you know, obviously wouldn't pay or play for, you know, $15 million, but he's looking towards more of the 8 to 10 range. Now, would he take lesser to play for the Titans? He, you know, some have come out and said, yes, he would, But again, it's just there's just so many questions for this. But to your question, to your point, if it's $5 million and he wants to come back here for a one-year deal, mostly incentive-based, you know, they're going to try and find his replacement, I would do that. I really would. But that's a lot of what-ifs. And for me personally, I just don't think that that's the likely outcome of all this. Like I said, it's easy to say, oh, you know, the knee's going to come back and it's going to be 100%. You know, he's going to put on weight. And after he puts on the weight, he's going to get back into playing shape and back into the routine at 31 years old. It's just – it's a lot. But if all of those things encompass together, then, yes, I think that would be, because not only is he a veteran, not only does he love being a Tennessee Titan, but he has a good relationship with Vrabel. He's been here for long enough. A lot of the guys look up to him. And personally, I think he's just very self-aware, and I could see him being a good mentor to a guy coming in. So a lot of what-ifs there, but in that scenario, then yes, I would bring Taylor Lewan back.
Junie, I'm on the same page with you. A lot of things would have to go right. First and foremost being him getting that knee healthy, gaining the weight back, and point blank, just wanting to come back and play football. But, Junie, that is all you're going to be with us today. Are you ready to go close on a house?
Oh, I sure definitely am. Fortunately, you know, my schedule conflicted. We had to move some times around. So, yep, I am going to go sign on first home.
Very, very much adulting today. Junie is about to go sign for his first house. Very, very excited. Caroline Fenton will be joining me for the last 30 minutes as we transition to Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the NFL as a whole and what veteran quarterbacks could be a potential solution to some teams around the league. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle, Michelle Knezovic, Caroline Fenton in with me, Nick Kieser. We are live from our game studio by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. If you want to weigh in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Before we get into things, really quick, we've got a pair of tickets to give away to see Bad Flower at Brooklyn Bowl on April 1st. Be the third caller right now at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Like I said, to see Bad Flower at Brooklyn Bowl coming up on April 1st. Caroline Fenton, good to have you in here today.
Hey, happy to be here. It's been a minute since we've gotten to host a show together.
It's been SEC media days. The girls are taking over.
The girls are back. Welcome into the girls' room, everybody.
Yeah, so Caroline will join us for the next 30 minutes, and then she will take over for Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. It's been a revolving door. We got Junie out, Caroline's in,
it's
Chase
like a car
out.
Car wash in here.
Having a good time today. Well, Caroline, you know, on not the best note, news came out this morning that Ryan Johansson would be out for about 12 weeks after getting hurt in Tuesday night's game. He got hit with the blade in the back of his leg, and he actually just posted on Instagram a couple minutes ago and just said he wanted to thank all of the doctors out at the Franklin Vanderbilt Hospital. Outstanding job taking care of me. Everybody who reached out, it's meant a lot. Y'all have been thinking about me. We're in a dogfight to find our way to the playoffs, and it's going to suck not being out there with my brothers. Y'all fans inspire us every day, and our group is going to need it for this push. So just went on social media to thank everybody. He's going to be out for the remainder of the season with the 12 weeks. John Hines said, you know, it stinks. You can't replace him in the locker room. But it'll give the young guys some opportunity to step up.
Yeah, and that's what I'm really looking forward to. And I think that's what John Hines needs to evaluate this team, and David Boyle, all of the Preds leadership is, okay, what do we want to do at this point? Do we want to make a push for the playoffs? I mean, I've been pretty staunch in my belief that I think it's just ready for you to accept the fact that you're not going to compete in the playoffs, that this team just isn't playing at the level that it needs to in order to, one, make the playoffs, much less make a push in the playoffs. So I've kind of been saying, like, why don't you just throw the young guys out there? If you can just say, okay, we are going to build for next year. We're going to give these guys some experience. I mean, Philip Tomasino's been up for a handful of games, and he already looks like he's made improvement from game one and then against Vancouver earlier this week. So, you know, I think it's a positive thing to let the young guys get some experience. So I was kind of pushing for that even before mm-hmm. this situation. And it's really a tough scene for Ryan Johansson. You hate to see any player mm-hmm. go through that. But I do have to say, 12 weeks is a lot shorter than I expected. I kind of figured out for the season, especially when we mm-hmm. saw that he'd be undergoing surgery. But we were talking about it yesterday. Willie and I were kind of going back and forth because I couldn't really tell on the broadcast exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it's his Achilles. And if it's your Achilles, I mean, that's like 6, 8, 10, 12 months. Like, that's a yeah. pretty intense injury.
Well, that's what you're hoping it wasn't.
Exactly. So 12 weeks, albeit it sucks, and you know you hate to be down a man like that, but good to see some young guys get some reps, and good to hear that it's not going to be, you know, something that trickles into next season as well.
Do you think that this injury, and seeing that one of your veteran guys who a starter for you all is, you know, important to this roster, do you think that has any sway in David Poyle's mind right now? The way I look at it right now is I'm on the same page as you, right? I think throw the young guys out there. If you have the option to make a trade at the deadline, you can get maybe some good return for a Matias Ekholm, even a Tanner Jeannot. I think you definitely make the calls. You have those phone lines open. The way I look at these next couple games leading up to the trade deadline, they're all against non-playoff teams. I hate to throw the you should win these games, but
you should win these games.
I know Willie hates the should word, but they should, right? They have a better roster. They're still technically fighting for a playoff spot about 7 points behind. But do you think that Ryan Johansson being out, Philip Forsberg's week to week, we're seeing the young guys needing to play more and more of a role on this roster. Do you think it should play a role into David Poyle's decision?
Absolutely not. No, I don't.
Because do you think it will?
I can't speak to David Poyle. I can't. But, you know, I have my gripes with some of the decisions that David Poyle has made in the past. Mm-hmm. But David Poyle, I think, can evaluate a team good enough to understand that losing Ryan Johansson isn't going to, you know, take your season off the rails. It's not like Ryan Johansson has been a huge contributing factor for this team. Mm-hmm. You know, last year he had a career year, and this year he and Duchesne, and honestly I'll throw Forsberg into the mix as well, they haven't been competing to the level that they need to be competing at. So I don't think that you are a Ryan Johansson away from competing for the playoffs or making the playoffs. So I don't think that it should play a factor in David Poyle's decision, because you've had Ryan Johansson all mm-hmm. season long and you still aren't a playoff team. So losing Ryan Johansson I don't think changes anything. Yes, it is unfortunate, but it doesn't change anything in terms of the playoff push, and I don't think it changes anything about what David Poyle's decision should be of doing with Ryan Johansson. I don't think Ryan Johansson went from being the super valuable, tradable mm-hmm. asset to all of a sudden an unvaluable, untradable asset. I don't think that you were going to be able to trade him anyway. So to me, while it's unfortunate and I hate to see Ryan Johansson have to go through that, I think that it changes very little.
I agree with that. I think that, you know, people can look at it, because we still have some fans texting in saying, you know, I still want them to try to get into the playoffs because anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. And I get the anything can happen, but I think that this team has shown us this year that their biggest, you know, flaw is that they can't stay consistent and they're unable to string these games together. And now without veteran guys who've been in these playoff situations before, not being able to play for your team and having such a young core, it's that much harder. And say they do find themselves, you know, a spot in the playoffs. I kind of look at it as if you have these young guys and, like you mentioned, throwing them out there, giving them the experience, because I think that when you look at this Predators roster, I believe that this team, you know, David Poyle's made it clear, they're not buyers. We all know they're not buyers. But are they sellers? If they don't make a move at the trade deadline, I don't think it's the end of the world. But I look at this offseason being more important for the team. So I think the best case scenario is say you do move off of Matias Ekholm and you get, you know, whether you get a first round pick and maybe a second. I don't know what people would be willing to give him yet. I know Pierre LeBrun said that they'd be asking up to 2 first round picks. And listen, if you can get that, I mean, signed, sealed, delivered. That's amazing. But I look at this team more as the best case scenario would be is if you can move off someone at the trade deadline and you also make the playoffs, because you give these young guys the opportunity to get some experience and then you focus on them in the offseason and try to make some more moves.
With Mattias Ekholm, I would make that move at the trade deadline. And I know that there are so many people that are like, no, I love Mattias Ekholm.
We all do.
We all do. And nobody's going to trade for your bad players. You get good assets for good players. And that's exactly what Mattias Ekholm is going to be. So you make that move at the trade deadline because you can probably get more in return from Mattias Ekholm. Because I look at Toronto or Boston. Those are two teams that are buying and making a push for the playoffs. And those are two teams that could be looking for defensemen. So I would say, you know, you find teams when they're at their most desperate. And that is when they are making a push for the playoffs. So that's why I would say make that move at the trade deadline. The idea about playing the young guys in the playoffs, I totally understand that thought process. But if this team makes the playoffs, they are putting all the big guns out there. I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs and then basically, and this is no disrespect to the young guys, but you're not going to be competitive with those guys. It would basically be like bending the knee. Like, say, basically, the message to the fan base would be like, okay, cool, we made the playoffs. Now let's just bend the knee, let some of these young guys get experience. And I don't think that's the message that that ownership wants to put out there. And I don't know ownership. That's just my interpretation of it. But I think if this team makes the playoffs, they're going to do everything they can do to remain competitive. But also, with that being said, you're not going to have Ryan Johansson. I don't know what the situation with Philip Forsberg is. You could probably expect him fairly soon, like if the Preds make the playoffs, which, again, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but let's just operate under those conditions. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Philip Forsberg will be out there, but you are going to be without Ryan Johansson, so you're going to have to, by proxy, play some of the young guys, like a Philip Tomasino, who are going to play a larger role than maybe they traditionally would.
And that's more of what I meant, is that, you know, these guys that we've seen step up, such as Cody Glass, Tommy Novak, they would get the experience in the playoffs, not just throwing out young guys because you make the playoffs and you're ready to fold. How do you view the offseason, though? Do you think that, because I don't think I've gotten your take on this, do you think that it's time for a strip it down, make a big move? I know people have thrown out UC Saros because you'll be able to get a lot back for him because of his value in this league, and really just try to break it and build it back up. What is your take on that, Caroline?
I would say do whatever you possibly can. You're handicapped with some contracts. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be great if you could just dish out, you know, two $8 million contracts that you're not getting $8 million worth of production from Duchesne Johansson. Mm-hmm. And I know I hear so many Predators fans that are saying, like, sell, sell, sell. And yes, I'm with you that you want to just restart and rebuild. But if you don't want those players, chances are nobody else does either, and nobody's willing to give up assets in order to get them. So I think that you try and rebuild as much as you possibly can. Try and field the offers and get a temperature on the rest of the league for any player that you possibly can. I threw out UC Saros' name. And would that be a comfortable move? Absolutely not. But that would be the biggest indication that, look, we are just trying to collect as many future assets as we possibly can, prospects, draft picks, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And UC Saros is on a pretty team-friendly deal, $5 million a year. So that's probably very, very attractive to a lot of teams across the league that need a goalie, a la the LA Kings, who are a really solid team, just don't have a goaltender. And you would be willing to get – I think teams would be willing to trade more considering they wouldn't be absorbing a massive salary. So I'm picking up the phone about anybody that I possibly can, and I would say anybody is for sale. You want to get younger, so you hold on to your young core and you build off of that young core. But in my opinion, if I was David Poile, I'm saying you pick up the phone and you see what the temperature is about any player on that team. And if you're not thrilled about the return, you don't trade them.
Coming up tonight, the Preds will be back in action, 9:30, a late one tonight on the West Coast with the San Jose Sharks. Chase McCabe will have pregame starting at 8:30. Switching over to the other professional team in the town, the Tennessee Titans have made some big moves yesterday. Who will be next on the chopping block? Caroline and I will discuss that all on the other side as we put a bow on things on Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
There was a piece of me that's like, should I be doing something? Should I be? And then when I walked out of the building today, like, said hello to everybody, talked to all the guys that I've been around for a long time. There's a lot of guys that have been in that building for a long time and I've gotten to know really well. And after those goodbyes, I kind of walked out and I was like, it's a refreshing feeling.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Like, the mourning process has happened since I got hurt week two of the season. Because when I had to go get surgery, I went to Vrabel's office and I said, I know I'm going to get cut. I understand. Like, that is how this is going to work. So the mourning process has been since the fall. And now that it's happened, I really just thought like they were going to like put me down. like they were going to shoot me or something, and it was going to be over.
Yeah.
But really, like I walked in there and Vrabel and I were talking about Jen and her foot when they first came to Tennessee, and then Rand came in and shook his hand and kind of just sat there for a second. I go, so how's this go? And like, do you guys put it like, kill me? Yeah. Like, what's the deal?
Pull out the shotgun.
And they're just like, they're like, yeah, we just got to, you know, we're releasing you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I know. So is that it? And then that was kind of the end of the conversation. Yeah, that was it. There was a question of whether or not they would have to go into all the conversation. But the answer is I got cut. And now I just got to figure out what to do.
Do you know what you want to do right now?
I want to get my knee healthy is what I want to do. Because
that was Taylor Lewan on Bussin' with the Boys discussing getting cut from the Tennessee Titans yesterday, where his head is at moving forward. Welcome back into Chase and Michelle. I'm Michelle Knezovic, Caroline Fenton in for Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser. We are live from the game studio by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Caroline, is Taylor Lewan on his podcast, The Drama? I feel like I was getting put down, but
The Drama. You know, shocker, Taylor Lewan brings drama.
I felt like I was going to get put down in there with Vrabel and Carthon, and he starts to say something about, they offer, and then he kind of brought it back. And I think one of the biggest questions for people out there, one of the questions I have is, and I discussed this with Junie earlier, say Taylor Lewan gets healthy, puts some weight back on, sees what Tennessee does with this roster in the offseason, sees what pieces they put back together, because I do feel like it all is really weighing on him. Does he actually want to play football again? I don't know if he knows right now, because he's had so much, just up and down with the knee the last 2 years. But let's just hypothetical for a second. Say he gets his knee healthy, he puts the weight back on, he sees some of the moves this team is making, and he thinks, you know what, I would like to maybe come back. Do you think it'd be worth it for this team, if all of those factors play a role, to sign him to a 1 year, $5 million, but also get some incentives on, how many times he starts and different things like that, but also draft somebody in this year's draft to then go ahead and develop?
I do not, because the problem with Taylor Lewan has been his availability. And that goes back to the PED suspension. It goes back to his first ACL and then now his second ACL. Taylor Lewan has not been a reliable piece of this offensive line, at least over the last 3 years. In the beginning of his career in Tennessee, he was a Pro Bowler. He was a core piece of the turnaround of the Tennessee Titans from the depths of the NFL to all of a sudden becoming a contender in the AFC. So, but Taylor Lewan over the past few years hasn't been able to stay on the field. Mm-hmm. So I can't pay you $14 million and I can't pay you $5 million, because whether you're $14 million or $5 million, the odds are you probably aren't going to be able to stay on the field. And that's what we've seen from Taylor Lewan is, hurt players sometimes just unfortunately stay hurt. And that's kind of been the truth with Taylor Lewan. So as big of a piece of this team he had been in the past, and as much as I know this fan base just loves Taylor Lewan, it's time to start finding your left tackle of the future, because Taylor Lewan just can't be reliable.
And I think the next question is, can they draft and develop a guy who can be on this line, whether it be, a left tackle? We don't know what's happening with Ben Jones. Will Ben Jones decide to retire? What is this offensive line going to look like? Because I look at it right now and I don't think they're going to re-sign Nate Davis.
No.
I think Ben Jones is probably going to retire. I look at Aaron Brewer, who is small, and he's not ideally your first choice at center. And I look at Nicholas Petit-Frere, who, was a rookie, and he stepped in there, and he was able to be serviceable for you for some games, but towards the end of the year made some big rookie mistakes, and we all know what that offensive line looked at. Mm-hmm. Would you say, looking at the offensive line, you look at the receiver core, Robert Woods, one of the guys they cut yesterday, Treylon Burks is your wide receiver number one right now. This team has so many areas on the offensive side of things. Mm-hmm. What would you say first priority?
I would say offensive line. Well, okay, I step back. Your first priority is always going to be your quarterback.
Always.
But let's just put that to the side because, you know, if you have a quarterback that you don't that you know is not your quarterback of the future, that's your number one priority. But let's be realistic. Offensive line. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be because at receiver, I think there are enough serviceable pieces that you can pick up maybe potentially in free agency. And also, you have so many pieces on the offensive line that you have to fill in. I would say you probably have 3 to 4 pieces, assuming Ben Jones is going to retire. And that's making an assumption, but it feels like a safe one. Taylor Lewan's gone. Nate Davis, I believe, will be gone. And then Aaron Brewer is a 270-pound guard. And you just can't play guard or center at that size. Unless they do want to move Aaron Brewer to guard, then you're looking at 3 to 4 pieces on the offensive line. That's my number one priority because you have so many pieces to fill. And to your point about, you know, like, can you get a left tackle in here that you can, like, draft and develop and be ready for you know, your first season? I would say if the Titans decide to delegate the 11th overall pick to a left tackle, which I would say would be a very smart move. You know, you can get a solid tackle at number 11, especially in this year's draft when the edge rushers and the quarterbacks are going to be pushing quality pieces down. Your first round pick, 11th overall pick in the draft tackle should start right away. Like, you pick that guy because he can help you right away.
And you need to hit on that pick.
Yeah.
I think that's very important because the last thing this fan base, or for that matter, you know, a first-year GM wants to do is make that 11th overall pick and, you know, have the guy not be able to be productive. I think that you hit on that's most productive. Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know, freeing up some cap space, there are going to be more moves. I look at a guy like Bud Dupree. Junie and I talked about him. He could be a post-June 1st cut.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
So you don't believe in restructuring him? You're the sentiment of injured too much?
That's the thing. In the same kind of sentiment that I'll reiterate about Bud Dupree. I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care if you're making $15 or $15 million. If you can't help my football team, You can't be an asset for my football team. Like, I cannot pay you to be on this football team and to take up a roster spot and to take up money if you're going to be sidelined.
We'll have to see. We'll have to wait for Bud Dupree. Caroline, thank you so much for hopping in today and joining us. We love a little girls' action here on the show.
Love chatting with you, Michelle.
Well, Caroline will stay on the mic coming up next. Caroline Willie and D-Mace, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Michelle Knezvik, Caroline Fenton. This is Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app.